Montreal. Find out. Okay, yes. You heard me? All right. Yes. Okay, I'll see. You may sit down, put your books up, get your pen and pad out. Don't follow me in no book tonight. I don't want no following the book. And the reason I don't is because transfer, importation, I had two more things, but it's transfer and importation when I was coming here. You will not only, you need not only to hear, you need to see what I'm saying. And we know the Holy Spirit is here, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, we have to give the Holy Spirit a little more respect for him to be able to unfold another dimension to us. There's always another dimension, you understand? And just following the book and marking the book will cause you to miss something. I know the other two words. You might write them down. Transfer, impartation, encounters, and experience can take place at any moment if you're paying attention to not only the word, but the anointing on the person that is teaching you. It's what the Lord said to me. He says what the Holy Spirit said. They're following the book, and they're just marking, and they're going to the next point. But they're not recognizing the experience and the encounter that can take place in their life if they give their undivided attention to the Holy Ghost. Now, we're dealing with chapter 21. You make your notes. And it's very important. And I added to the subject. And I want you to write this down. What kind of believer are you? And then I want to ask you to locate yourself and die.
Yes, sir.
Locate yourself and die.
Yes, sir.
Then after that, you submit to his will and live. Now, the author points out, and I think from 40 years of experience, we can have an encounter here tonight, and it can prepare you for your personal life as well as the people that in your day to come you'll minister to. I'm in full agreement. I've been pastoring a long time, and these four types of believers he gives us in this chapter are right, accurate, and they determine whether the church is going to grow or the church is going to die, or the church going to slow up, or the church not going to move at all, these type of believers. He talks about the pioneer, and I want you to get that one definition of the pioneer, of a pioneer believer. That's why I asked you what kind of believer are you. And that pioneer believer, he says, those who make things happen. Those who make things happen. Are you one that make things happen? Now, I'm a pioneer. I make things happen. But in order to do that, you're going to have to have a thirst. You're going to have a hunger. You're going to have a desire beyond normal. You're going to have to leave the crowd. You're going to have to not only speak to the mountain, you're going to have to climb the mountain. See, make it happen. And there's an anointing there. There's an anointing that come in that type of believer that is not normal. That believer functioning in the atmosphere of the supernatural. And the enabler is the next believer. Now, they're not really pioneers, but they are helpers. The enablers are those who support things that are happening. See, they don't make nothing happen, but they'll jump on something that is happening, and they'll help with that. And if you ever pastor, if you ever lead people, you're going to need to know these fellows. And then you got two resistors. I know you read your lesson, right? Two resistors. You talk about resistor A, those who don't know what is happening. And you got some of them set up in every church. They don't know what's going on. They're just happy they're there. I'm just, say, how you doing? I'm just happy. I'm here, man. You know. And then resistor B, we're going to break all these down. Resistor, the second resistor is those who will prevent anything from happening. That sounds like a Baptist deacon to me. Prevent anything from happening. And the transitional period that we're in now, position are changing in the spirit realm. And those of us who are not properly trained will not be able to make the shift in. The government of God is laying out his government now. He's laying out his, and the church will no longer be operating from earth to heaven, but heaven going to run the church. And so we're talking about an apostolic blueprint here. When the church is built according to the apostolic blueprint, the pioneer, what about the pioneer? Who is that? All right. The pioneer and enabler, what about the enabler? What they do? Now listen to this statement. And listen to this statement, and may the Holy Spirit help us on this, because we don't want to just have a reading class. I don't want to use the word interrupt. Another word could be involve. The Holy Spirit involve us in seeing the revelation of what we're talking about. When the church is built according to apostolic blueprint, the pioneers and enablers emerge in the rank and file of the church. And you really need those pioneers and those enablers in the church for the church to do what she needs to do. And it says, and this is what happened, this is going to happen now, the resistors fade out of the scene, out off the scene. Apostle Johnson said when he got the revelation nodding and started preaching on miracles and stuff, he preached the church down from 2,500 to 1,500. Like he's going the wrong way, but he's going the right way. He was getting rid of all those people who were just thought they was on a ferry boat going to the other side. And sometime there's an ending have to come in relationship. What happened to these resistors when we do not feed the negative in congregation, they may change or ultimately leave the church. You see, we'll come preach Christ, him crucified, preach the gospel, not dipping in other people's business. And the old tradition of church is so used to that, that when you start saying, look at yourself, and start dealing with individual themselves, and then they go to another church. Then that mean they want mess. Now you have to avoid mess, because mess would quench the Holy Spirit. Grieve him, and he can't function like he want to function. I hear in my spirit the Lord saying, make room for the Holy Ghost. You hear what I say?
Yes, sir.
Make room for the Holy Ghost. Don't invite him out, invite him in.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand, when there's a transitional period in the church, as it is now in this, all churches not transitioning, but it's a transitional period because the Lord is doing something different. Those who change will become full supporters of the leadership of the church. Those who change. You know, something left.
Yeah, right. Right.
You're not supposed to go after them. What makes some churches so small? They follow behind the members. And the members are supposed to be falling behind them. And you know these four type of believers, the author said, grew up on a different type of environment and atmosphere. Spiritual environment, spiritual atmosphere has something to do with how you come out. Some people, young man, think all churches are alike. I just been to church. No, there's different varieties of spiritual environment and atmosphere that can take a toll on your life and change you into another person. You can wear a greater dimension of the anointing. You can wear a greater dimension of the awareness of the supernatural, of the manifestation, of your trust in God. If scriptures are rightly divided, truth and reality. If you set in truth and reality present, you have to change or you leave. I've seen it. And then the author, I like what he says here because I'm in full agreement, an apostle with an apostle, providing the right kind of leadership structure will help us breed breakthrough believers. And he called them pioneers and enablers, breakthrough believers. Are you a breakthrough believer? You know, before you could be anything else, you need to be a breakthrough believer. Pioneers. Donnell, I told you, sit with your wife. Pioneers, those who make things happen. Those who make things happen, because you got to take this class, because you ain't never took these classes. Those who make things happen, they're always eager for action. I have them in my church. Pastor, what way are you going? I believe God talking to you. Yes, and you got other ones just sitting and look at you, you know, they look at you, waiting for you to fall. They are innovative and creative, those pioneer believers. They find new ways of doing old things and find more effective styles too. They're often possessed with a spirit of adventure. Nobody won't keep doing the same thing. Boy, the Lord, I know Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, but there's new dimensions and revelation and insight and enlightenment and anointing and wisdom and understanding the Lord is given as we go. So you have to have some type of spiritual adventure on your mind. God is an adventurous God. He's a God that can take you on adventures. Good God Almighty. I mean, it become dull, Samuel Humdrum. I yield to the Spirit. And I'm ready to go. Yes. Just think about it. I feel the Holy Ghost. Just think about how many adventures that we miss enjoying by going with the same intention. We must learn how to yield. There's a vastness of God that man will never touch. And Jesus will come back and we never touched it. But you who were in his school, you on the internet and Roku, you in the school, there's the opportunity to have adventures with God. God take you place nobody ever told you about. You get to a place where my tailor put my initials on his shirt. You get to a place that you're personalized, you're marked for the deep things of God. Yes, and you become happy. You don't be dull and oppressed like many Christians are, because it's just going through the same prayers and the same scriptures. And God whip out a new adventure. Take you deeper. Take you higher. Take you stronger. So make sure that You were told in this school that the Lord wants you to possess a spirit of adventure. To launch, he says, into new frontiers and dimensions that have not been explored before. You're an explorer. Not only that, I know the two words don't mean the same thing, but you're an explorer waiting to explode. My. I wish I had three people listening. There are other places God want to take his church. He's looking for somebody to be adventurous. Don't settle for what everybody else be doing. That means God over. That means we have exhausted what God can do if we keep doing the same thing. Well, somebody say, yeah, but he's the Lord and he changed not. No, he don't change, but you don't know all of him. He don't have to change. These pioneers, they desire, listen to me, they desire to break limitation within themselves and scale new heights in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What they do? They desire what? To do what? Break limitation. Break limitation means you're going to have to leave some folks. Who are going to be limited all their life because they don't want to pay the price. They're always looking for men advice. Paul said that your faith should not stand in men advice, men insight, but in the wisdom of God. What class? What privilege it is you can wake up every morning and function in the wisdom of God. Most people function by the news. And these four type of believers, I tell you, adventures, breaking limitation, I love it. New heights in the kingdom, scaling new heights in the kingdom of God. And that's where every denomination stopped. Every denomination, even the word of faith, they stopped. They didn't scale on. They come with the idea, we got all the answers. There ain't nobody got all the answers. God ain't through talking yet.
Yes, sir.
These pioneers, sometimes they endeavor to bring in new styles and methods to the old thing. You know, and people don't want change, you know. They won't stay in the sand, but you're going to have to be a breed. You're going to have to get them changed. this next statement is something, boy. You know, and I pray y'all catch the spirit of this. He said, these pioneers, their adventurous nature often put pressure on the church to move forward. I remember I walked in Mount Zion some years ago. I'm trying to move forward and caught a hold of them funeral home fan. How many of y'all remember the funeral home fan? How many of y'all done fan with them? Y'all kind of young, you know, but I walked out there and I said, this is crazy. This is asinine. This funeral man ain't give us these fans just for nothing. This man trying to kill us. He wants... Everybody would feel funeral home. So I called, I screamed for my secretary. She knew I was kind of wild. I hollered for her because I'm the adventurous man. I hollered for her. I said, hurry, Audrey, hurry, come. Get these fans out of the church quick as you can. They came next Sunday looking for their fan. There was no fan. Then I explained to them why. And we went a long time without anybody dying. Matter of fact, my spiritual father had to speak to me when someone did die. He told me I had to go through that path because that's the journey, but I hadn't seen nobody die for years. Listen very closely to this statement. It came out of your book. They keep expanding the borders of the church ministry in order to embrace every opportunity God has given to us. Now, I want to deal with that. I want to deal with expanding. I want to deal with embracing. And I want to deal with experiencing every opportunity. Whew, good God Almighty. Think about it. Think about it. Think about life. Think about God. Think about the kingdom. Think about the church. If we get into this expanding mode,
yes, sir.
That just don't sell out. I'm not satisfied. I don't care what happened. I'm not satisfied. I'm still reaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And then embracing a new dimension of God, new anointing, fresh. If you have a church you don't want to go to, leave it. Because the reason you don't want to go is you're just going through the motion. You're tired, and you know what's going to happen, and you no adventure, no embrace, nothing expanding, and you're just sitting there dying with the rest of them. If you don't expect to expand, if you don't embrace. I didn't say that. I was reading a book on wealth. It says, rich folk look for opportunity. Poor folk look for obstacles.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
These pioneers, watch what they do. They create a spiritual, and I want you to get this thought, momentum. I'm about to read a book by Bill Johnson on spiritual momentum. Until others are absorbed into the flow of the God-given vision to the church. They create a spiritual momentum of the church meant spiritual until others are absorbed in the flow of the God-given vision to the church. It's a momentum. See, can you wear this? See how you're gonna put this on. These I would call these different garments. Can your heart wear this? They are sensitive to the Spirit leading, and they have deep convictions about what God is calling them to do. Deep conviction. You know where conviction comes from? The Holy Ghost. Leading comes from the Holy Ghost. These pioneers, I thank God for them. I have them in Word of Life. They create new opportunities and space for others to become involved in the ministry. Man, listen. Now, this statement is new to us. What's about to be said now? Because we're bringing this on the scene. Apostolically, and the blueprint of the apostolic. It says how to raise pioneers to rise effectively in governmental churches. Now, who want to shout at a governmental church? What a governmental church mean? You want to shout at? Who want to shout at? You just talking about be waving your hand then. What a governmental church mean? What a governmental church mean? Yes?
A church that's under apostolic leadership.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you so much. And what is a church under apostolic leadership? Where all y'all been? See, that's why y'all just follow me in that book. Y'all don't know a doggone thing. Listen, you need to know about this government. You need to know that this school is about to change in going back to God's original plan.
Yes.
You got to pay attention.
Yes, sir.
Now, my sister was right. But what is an apostolic? What it mean being under the apostolic? Get your Bible out. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You don't know nothing. Tell me, where's my time? Get the Bible out. We're dealing with the heaven to earth government, kingdom government. You have to understand, that's why the church haven't lived in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Get to the 16th verse, say, every joint supplied. Ain't no dummy can supply nothing in the spirit realm if they don't know how it go.
Absolutely.
We're talking, when she say apostolic, Government. We're talking about government. Going back to God, getting rid of these doggone deacons and people who messing with visionaries and keeping the church. This church would never expand like it expanded if I'd have had these people holding me down. I had to break that crap up, get it off my back so I could fly. I had too much of a load on me. I was trying to carry people who thought they knew what they're doing, didn't know what they were doing. And you the breed, you the generation, you the one the Lord want to raise up to understand his government, understand that the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist is Jesus Christ. I know somebody flipped that time because it's his delegated authority. It's his arm. It's his extension. He's back in heaven, but he's backing up. You got to learn this in the school. You got to know this. You got to know that it's a brand new breed being risen up, and that the visionary, Moses didn't have no meeting.
That's right.
When they had a meeting, leprosy came. Because they rise up against Moses, and the Lord, Moses was trying to pray for him, but the Lord said, no, I'm going to do somebody. Get back, Moses. I'm going to do something about this. Because I told you what to do. You was the only one at the bush. All of them start acting like they were at the bush. They wasn't there. Moses was there by himself.
Right.
What bush you saw?
Come on.
See? So we have to understand that Ephesians 4:11, that whole chapter, Ephesians 4, you better read it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give a test out of it, and anything I want to ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4, you better make Ephesians 4 your baby. You better love her, or you ain't going to finish this school.
Wow.
Because we got to shift. We got to recognize that you're a new breed. And what God is teaching you is government. And that government will release advances, expansion. It will release the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit ever catch a church,
yes, sir.
Returning to God's original plan of anointings. Yeah. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
Things will start breaking out because God loves when people obey him. So a governmental church is a church that going back to God's original plan that is submitted to the fivefold ministry of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and who else? The evangelist. And they must be equipped to equip. And that's one of the problems we've had. That's why this school is here. That's why we're talking to you, because You don't want to take these positions if you're not equipped.
Oh, come on, yeah.
If you're not called, if you're not equipped,
yeah.
If you're not trained, if you're not developed, you don't know how to grow.
Yeah.
Because you're just stagnant God people.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's
yes, sir.
Right, sir.
Come on,
yes,
sir.
Amen.
Government is not wrong.
Right.
You submit to the government of the United States of America.
Yeah.
That's right. Or get locked up.
Well,
I'll tell you right, you submit to the government of God and you get locked up. Satan lock you up.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, yoke's going to be broken. Yoke's going to be. So understand in Ephesians chapter 4, read that chapter. I remember one time I read that chapter over and over and over again and still didn't get what it meant. Huh? Pastor for many years. Didn't know the full potential lie there. And what is bad about you? Think you know something. And you don't know it. And you miss. This is a bad word for the say it, but you missed the grease. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to find a better word, you know, a more healthier word, you know? But you just missed the grease. Miss a good piece of fried chicken. That's what you miss. If you don't like fried chicken, something extremely wrong with you. Something extremely wrong with you. How to raise pioneers. What is a pioneer? Make things happen. To rise effectively in governmental churches. Effectively. They have to know what it is. They have to know that it's for to bless them and for to bring them at different dimensions in life that the average Christian has never seen. What it does is set proper limits and boundaries for safety and effective service. Listen what it does. It set proper limits. There have to be proper limits in the church. You have to know how far you can go. You have to know who in charge. You can't begin to do your own thing in the house of God. There's somebody God have assigned to give orders. I think every Christian need to go to the army. When they finish the army, they need to go to the Marine. I ain't been to none of them. I learned my lesson without going there. But they need to go to the Marine.
Yes, sir.
Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted.
Yes, sir.
I hope my man listen. I just keep making excuses. I'm tired of all these excuses. He's a leader. Don't be telling me them little sad pussyfoot excuses. You can do something. People, if you want to do something, if you want to be somewhere, you can be there.
Right.
Set proper limits and boundaries for safe and effective service. Unless there are proper boundaries for function, excited pioneers could work against their corporate life and vision in the church. In other words, unless it has some guidelines set up by God, people can be good people doing a lot of things, but they're going to run out of their bond area, run out of their limit. And God can't handle that. God won't bless that. God is, you know, I talked about a scripture I was reading, and it says, you know, the scripture says, let everything be done decently in order. And the author said, let everything be done. That's where we got to stop. The average church is let everything be done. I think we should wear white. Be arguing about the color of the refrigerator and all kind of old crazy stuff. I've been through this mess. Lady said, we ain't had no meeting to buy no refrigerator. I said, you don't need to meet no meeting to buy a refrigerator. The meat gonna spoil. Y'all got to sell chicken, so let me get a refrigerator. What you? $300 at the time, $200. Well, she all hot. She said, smoke coming out of my mouth that morning. I wasn't yet. I ain't voted on that.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Now, she was operating in the curse.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And see, the average church operating in the curse because the scripture says we like to play with this, but the Lord said, touch not my anointed.
Yes, sir.
The Lord is saying the same thing, touch not my appointed.
Yes, sir.
That's
right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The person who is over you is in charge of your spiritual destiny.
Yes, sir.
Now, many Christians spit that out. They spit that out.
Yes, sir.
Let me take myself for an instant. You listening? Those whom I pastor will never know more than I tell them.
Come on, Dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
You can study all you want. God can take one sentence and wrap around 14 years of your life.
Yes, sir.
If you're in order.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And we don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
But yet, what that boy just got to fighting? Yeah, none of us want to get in the ring with Mayweather. We see the gloves and see how big the ring is and all that. But you ain't about to get in that ring because you know you're going to bust your head. So why can you respect that? How can you respect Mayweather? How can you honor him? And say he's a good fighter, but you can't find no good pastors or apostles or prophets. All of us. You know, get drunk and run women and do everything. We ain't none of us. And then you see Satan trick us with that.
Yes, sir.
Because when your word come, you miss it.
Yes, sir.
You're not. You got to be set for a word.
Yes, sir.
What I say?
Yes, sir.
You got to be set for a word, boy.
Yes, sir.
You got to be set for it.
Yes, sir.
Word don't come to unready people. With proper delegated authority and leadership structure, pioneer believers are held in a place of accountability. Write that word down, accountability. See, that word run, accountability, run with authority. Accountability. I mean, you know, and what we got so busy about, Satan got us busy about preaching about sin and missing the mark and who going to hell and all that stuff. And just tell the people they got accountability and look to the Lord to help them for their weaknesses and their mistakes. And the Lord will help them. But if you just whip up on them, tell them just, you got to be accountable. You got to be accountable. When temptation comes, you got to have a scripture. You got to turn it down, baby. It's coming. You just flat foot got to turn it down. You got to be strong enough in your heart to turn it down. Ain't nobody won't be no sinner no more. The blood have cleansed us. I want to keep my cleansing. And I know what the Bible said. Look at what the Bible said in John 15:3. Look what the Bible said. I want to keep my cleansing. Look at the Bible said in John 15:3. Let me read these two statements together. Let me read all of them together. Unless there are proper boundaries for function, or for functioning, excited pioneers could work against the corporate life and vision in the church. Just excited. You know some excited people, just excited. See, people too excited. See, too excited, you know. I have a lady in the church that the Lord have raised up in his church. I don't even want to know her too good. And God is bringing us to a dimension of worship and praise in his church. When she got up Sunday, my congregation started clapping. I said, no, ain't nobody got no business clapping yet now. This ain't no superstar. This woman need help from the Lord. Y'all going to take her age from her. They want to pray. They want to make Paul them gods after they saw the power of God. With proper delegated authority and leadership structure, pioneer believers are held in a place of accountability. This will make them to be more alert and wise, good God Almighty, in their application of their zeal and adventure so as to build the work in wisdom. Let me go over that again because we're talking about these advantages. We're talking about unless there are proper boundaries. What I said? All right, write down proper boundaries. And proper boundaries is a rightful understanding that God has delegated authority that is listening to him and will bring you a word from God to give you direction. Unless there are proper boundaries for functioning, see, excited pioneers could work against the corporate life and vision in the church. With proper delegated authority and leadership structure, pioneer believers are held in a place of accountability. Yes, sir. This will make them to be more alert. Oh, Lord, we need this. And wise in their applications of their zeal and adventure so as to build the work in wisdom. Now you lose a few people on that, you see. The author says another important aspect that will help pioneer believers to rise within the church is to build a strong atmosphere of worship and praise. Now I turn that around, praise and worship. Because Patrick was preaching, he hit it right on the head. You can't worship before you praise. Right. Praise invites his presence, then you worship him. But I sat under my gazebo this afternoon getting ready to come to this class. And I got it between the master house and the guest house. And I'm sitting there, got four rockers there. And I'm sitting there, and three angels sitting in the rocker next to me. I stuck my hand there, and I was aware that they were there. I thought it was the Lord, but it was three angels. See. And so I can't be ashamed of what God is doing, so I just stuck my hand in the air. I don't care who passed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I began to praise him and thank him for you. Yes, begin to pray for you as a student. Pray for you and pray for you. My goodness. They'll sit next to you. If you believe. See, when you get further in the dimension of the spirit, you're going to hear and see. See, some stay hearing all their life. They don't hear too good. They're half spiritually deaf, you know what I'm saying? But you need to be looking from God, I want to hear and see. Yeah, I want to hear and see. I want to hear what you're saying and see what you're doing. See how you do it. He'll show you. When the atmosphere of praise and worship is established within a church, the flow of inspiration, motivation, and strength is greatly multiplied. You heard that? Well, y'all ain't heard it. Y'all, that old Baptist preacher said, you're not hearing me. Listen, what is it? When the atmosphere of praise and worship is established within a church, the flow of inspiration. That's all I'm doing here right now. See, this church, I got good singers. But this church has to move. And so in my preparation time, I want to know what the Holy Ghost wants to happen. So when I come out here, I'm zigzagging. I don't know what, I'm just going to flow with the Holy Ghost. Because I know there are some things has to be broken here. There are some places we have arrived to and would not go any further unless an atmosphere change. Yes, sir. Right. So I've been looking for the ladies. Y'all know I've been looking for different ladies. I had different people singing. Now, and what happened here now, those who've been in place can't get upset. Right. Yes, sir. I'm going to say one more thing. This lady I'm talking about, she ain't on choir member. The choir will ruin her. And then take nothing from the choir members, but she's just not a choir member. I don't need her to have the vexation of the choir. And I'm not putting out, I got a good choir, good leaders. When the atmosphere of praise and worship is established within a church, the flow of inspiration, motivation, get those words, inspiration is a flow, motivation and strength is greatly multiplied. Now this church coming out the hangar, you know, this church been in the hangar for a while. You know what I mean, being in the hangar, my jets, they're in the hangar. They can't fly in the hangar. They got big doors they roll up. And they got a little car that hooked to it and pull it out. And then my partner take a hold of it. And now it's ready to hit the runway. This church is dead. We're coming out the hangar. The author said, lastly, in raising up pioneer believers, we need to raise up a strong support team of people who work alongside these pioneers and help their vision to come into fulfillment. And we're talking about the enablers now. And I just got to take this thing word for word. The enablers are those who support things that are happening. They ain't going to make nothing happen, but they'll support it. Yeah. Yeah. You got to be able to recognize the difference, or you'll kill another person trying to make them the other person. Yeah. Enable us are very important to the success of any church. Yeah. Without a prophetic vision, the people and the vision perish. Enablers should pursue commitment to the vision at all costs. Cooperate with others in the team to preserve unity. See, this is what we need. Submission to leadership and government structure. Now, we've had so many cults, and Satan does that for a blockage.
Right, absolutely.
Because the cult looked like the real thing, and the real thing looked like a cult. Did you get that? Yeah, they look like, but no, it's not. It's God's divine order.
Yes, sir.
It's for protection.
Yes, sir.
Submission to leadership and government structure. Nurturing and developing their personal gifting for greater contribution. Communication to establish support and meaningful fellowship within the realm. These enablers. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Here's the characteristic of an enabler. These are believers who are stirred in the spirit because of the God-given vision of the pioneer. Everybody won't be equal. You see, that's where the mess up is. No, you got to stand where God positioned you. The pioneer have put into words what the enabler have always felt in their own heart but did not possess the ability to identify the inner spiritual stirring and conviction. They develop a great sense of responsibility toward the vision because it also reflects their own dream and aspiration. Sometimes they don't move, but they don't fight it. They'll work with it. Now, here's some guidelines to protect enablers. Number one, enablers need to work very closely with the pioneers so their heart will be continually assured of the prophetic direction and clarity. See, they might not have caught the whole thing. I know my church. I know how far to take each member. Oh, yeah, I know. You see, because they're at different levels. And here we're saying, what a pioneer is? Who's an enabler? Now watch what happens. Enablers need to work very closely with the person who's making it happen.
Yes, sir.
So that their heart will be contingent assured of the prophetic direction and clarity. There's a direction and clarity that is more clear to some people.
Yes.
You know, I use myself a lot because I know myself better. And there are members in this church that say, I don't fully understand what he's doing, but I'm going to follow him because every other time he did it, we came out right.
Yes,
I got a man in here, 80-something years old. He said, half the time he don't know what I'm doing. So he told his wife, but if he get on it, he's going to get on it. We just as well go with him because he ain't going to stop till he finds something out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
See. I want to give you a word. In 40 years, God have not failed me yet. It's not a thing I set out to do under his direction that he didn't bring to pass. Matter of fact, 40 years. Matter of fact, more. More than I can explain. You're saying you never miss God? Yes, I missed him. I missed him turning around. As soon as I find out I miss him, I turn around, going the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
If you never go the wrong way, you're never going to find the right way. Because you're too safe. God is calling you, and this is a word for somebody, this is going to bless you. God is calling you to stretch. Trust him. Walk out of that safe place.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lord.
Do that, you're going to have to pray.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. You're going to pray. You're going to meditate to do that. And you got to have a word from God. But I mean, God will call you out, man. He said, come on out. I said, all right, Lord, I'm coming out of here. You know, yeah. Lord called me out of Madison Square Garden. How many preachers would have left? Preaching with Creflo Dollar.
Yeah,
I got in the car. I told my boy, I said, this is my last week. I'm going to tell Doc when I get in the office. I went in the office. I said, Doc, I appreciate it. Been preaching with you a long time, man. I said, but the Lord set my time up.
Come on, Dad. Come on.
I noticed his face. No one had never told him that.
Yes, sir.
He's a younger man than I am, you know. Lord called me out of Fick Wiffen. I was charter board member.
Yes, sir.
Lord, say your time up. Okay. I wrote, Dr. Price, thank you for serving you. But the Lord said, my time is up.
Wow.
I left. I could say, go on and on of what looked like grand opportunities.
Yeah.
But you got to follow the Spirit. And I can go on and brag on God. Some things have happened because of that. But I'm not going to do it right now. The enabler need to feel that they own the vision. Even though it was proclaimed and initiated by the pioneer, the enabler must also own the vision. And see, I try to tell my members, own this vision, man.
Yes, sir.
Man, it got stuff in this vision. And I try to minister on this thing. Say, I'm part of this. Whatever God's going to do here, I'm going to be up in it.
Yes.
it's just spiritual sense, man. And then the tradition of men have made the word of God of none effect. So you got traditionally, it's the op, that's not it. You know, it's his vision. My vision, this is a people vision. How you got to be my vision? It's come from God.
Yes, sir.
Scripture says, if you're not faithful in that which is another man, who going to give you your home?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
The enabler needs to stay persistently in the vision of the pioneer until it is fulfilled. This will help the vision to gather momentum and forward thrust. Now, you must understand now. I got it, Lord. I heard you. You must understand I'm a pioneer.
Yes, sir.
And we plowed in unbroken ground. Because everybody who was teaching in the word of faith, when they got to Louisiana line, it seemed the aircraft turned around and went back the other way. Because they know they wasn't going to get no fuel for their, they call them and they ain't got enough money to pay for the fuel because Louisiana was tight and they had no respect for gifts.
Yes, sir.
And so they would go back. Finally, we pioneered and started doing something and made them cross that line. Yes. Creflo came here, Kenneth Hayden came here, Kenny Copeland came here, Charles Capp came here. Men of great dimension in the spirit realm. They came because we changed some things. I know a man can't come here for no $1,000.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we start giving men of God 10, 15, 20,000, 50,000.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Giving them honor. Yes, Lord said, you know, say, give him this. I listen to the Lord. Lord said, give him this.
Yes, sir.
When Brother Hagin came in, he got the largest offering he ever got. Going to church, he went to some of the largest church, man, thousands of people. But we made our mind up.
Yes, sir.
We were gonna have the largest offering. We paid for all the hotels, fed them,
yes, sir.
And left plenty of money in their pocket.
Yes, sir.
He told me, said, son, this is the largest offering I ever got.
Yeah.
Wow. He lost his sight while he was here. And I'm out here talking to the people. He up back in the office. He got all his guys back there with him. He said, and he couldn't see in the spirit, you see.
Yeah.
He said, get Brother Thompson.
Yeah.
I said, my Lord. When I walk up there, he said, Brother Thompson, my sight gone. And the Lord said, if you lay your hand, I said, Lord Jesus. You might have to lay your hand on the prophet. I said, Lord Jesus. But what he was doing, when I laid hand on him, a transfer was made.
Yeah.
Not from me to him.
Yeah.
And the other boys in the office didn't even know it. That happened over and over again. As soon as I laid hand on him, his eyes, sight came back, and he took off running. Me and him run all over the office. Just running. Running and hollering. It's so much we have not seen and have not experienced. I can go on and on about experiences like that.
Yeah.
by the grace of God. Supernatural things happen. Now, until you catch the pioneer spirit, you'll be an enabler. You see, until you catch the visionary spirit, you're still an enabler. Yeah. But when you catch it, you become a pioneer with the pioneer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. They need to keep the vision in focus for the rest of the people by being there to strengthen and support it whatsoever the cost. My. How to raise good enablers. There's five things how to raise good enablers, people who catch a hold. And finally, they'll be converted into pioneers. And pastors, listen to this because, my main statement of purpose is change the lives of people with the word of God. And I do that.
Yes,
I stay with the word. I ain't got no point. Give it the word. In order to raise good enablers, proclaim the vision clearly. Constantly clarify and help explain its application, its benefits, that is, and the mandate it provides for the people of God who pursue it honestly. See, there's benefits in a vision. You lock into it and pay attention, they'll come out. Develop the concept of corporate team involvement rather than a one-man vision or orientation. You got these long rangers, but you need a ponto. I'm not dating some of y'all now. Y'all don't know the masked man. Lay godly principles for involvement. You know, one of the things I'm aiming to lay on Word of Life Christian Center is fresh acts of the Holy Ghost. Fresh word, fresh wisdom, fresh understanding, fresh experience, fresh hope, fresh faith. Man, we need something fresh. Huh? Fresh anointing. Godly principles help set the proper boundaries for a good working relationship to develop between the pioneers and the enablers. These lessons are so important. I don't care if they don't have no feeling with them. We need this information.
Yes, sir.
It's part two of the four type of believing in the church. We will look at resistor A. Resistor. You got a lot of resistors, you know. You can sit there with, see, you got that mouth all ball up there. Yeah. Well, this is resistance. They might not be all about it. They don't even know what is happening. And resistance B, those who will prevent anything from happening. That's the worst one. Yeah. You can deal with the one who don't know what's happening. But the other one will prevent everything from happening. There's five areas of attack on leadership targeted by resistors. First area is on their nature and character. Secondly, on their attitude and motive. Thirdly, on their qualification and spiritual position. Fourthly, on their wisdom and zeal. They want to attack them, you see. Said five, but I don't see them one, two, three, four. I don't see them on four on there. Let's look at this resistor. And you might have the fifth one in your book, I don't know. Let's look at this resistor. A, those who do not know what is happening. Boy, listen to this. These are people who resist any changes in the church or its ministry because they are ignorant of all the purposes that these changes are seeking to establish. Wow. Y'all heard that? Let me read that again. These are people who resist any changes. Now watch what it says next. In the church or its ministry. Now watch. Because they are ignorant of all the purposes that these changes are seeking to establish. This man said he preached a church from 25 to 1500. The other people didn't understand what he's doing. Now his church in total miracle, signs and wonders, feet being straightened, all kind of things happening. Because the people believe.
Yes, sir.
They realize that the changes are taking place faster than they can cope with. And besides that, they are unable to understand why all these changes being made. We just made some changes. You know, well, handle this. I walk in prayer meeting. Prayer meeting supposed to start at 7. I said, no, we're going to start at 6:45. I forgot to tell y'all. And there was my prayer leader right there. I told her, she probably didn't quite understand. She said, I don't. But that's just what I was led to do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They realize that the changes are taking place faster than they can cope with, and beside that, faster than they can cope with. They're unable to understand why all these changes being made. We was coming to church at 9 o'clock. I was satisfied with that. Now you're talking about we got to come at 10 o'clock. Well, it's direction. God up to something. They are not ready for these changes and do not see or perceive what God is doing in these time periods. They are unable to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and their fear get a hold of them before the leadership does. Yeah, you're trying to reveal to them what's going on, you know. Their fears, their ignorance, my God. And the three things, their fear, ignorance, and inner limitation become exposed to the new changes and things that are happening all around them. The ignorance, fear, and inner limitation. And they say they have no jurisdiction to control it from happening. Because they're not paying attention. They're not getting a hold of the information they need. See, these resistors could be elders, deacons, or committed functioning members. They are just fearful of all the changes that are taking place. They love the church and the Lord, but they think these changes should never have taken place at all. See, that's the worst kind. They love the Lord, they love the church, but then these changes shouldn't be made. I remember I came in Mount Zion. I was a 110-year-old historic Baptist church. I came there one morning. I had prayed. You know, I had a little wisdom. But everybody was older than me. The deacons, everybody was older than me. And I came in, two deacons was arguing over the Bible in the pulpit. You know that big Bible said in the pulpit?
Yeah.
One said it needed to be closed. I said, I didn't watch him. Another one said it needed to be open. And I stood up and said, it needed to be moved. I don't need it nowhere. I don't use it nowhere. So just take it on out of here. And boy, now you had killed Jesus Christ again. Because that Bible been... But see, that's some of the things I had to deal with.
Yes,
I said, we don't need it no more. I said, you know, in essence, y'all can go back in the back and all go, but it's going to be overclosed. But it ain't setting up here no more. And then I came one Sunday, and, you know, just as a pioneer, and they had the banister. How many of y'all remember the banister? But wrapped the pulpit off. I said, we're about to tear this down. Boy, you killed Jesus Christ again. But the next Sunday, it was down. Pioneer. I don't know where I was. The church was near Mount Zion Baptist Church. I was moving and traveling and going to other states, finding things out and trying to cure tradition. And the Lord told me, the Word of Life Christian Center. Now, I didn't know no church name that. I just heard it. So what I did, I went ahead and had a meeting. No, I called a man who painted the sign. When they come to church next Sunday morning, it wasn't no more Mount Zion. It was Word of Life Christian Center. And I ain't said a word for 6 months. Just kept preaching. Many of those people are still with me today in their 80s, late 80s. And they could testify with the old testimony. He brought me from a mighty long way. But they didn't fight me. See. Pioneers can be hard to follow sometimes if you're not ready to change.
Yes, sir.
Boy, but if you follow them, and if they're real from God, you'll be so glad.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll be so glad.
Yes,
why resistance arise in the church? Because of ignorant, inadequate communication, and unhealthy spiritual condition in the church. Let's talk about the ignorant part in a few minutes here, for a few minutes. Let's talk about some ignorant folks. These resistors, I know them. I've seen them. Right, lady, I'm trying to get the church flowing, you know. So I'm wedding. They're not going to control me at no wedding. I don't believe you should have liquor at a wedding. If I go to a wedding, I'm not saying, Lord, I want you to have me a seat. I'm a preacher. And then I was trying to train my people on time. Y'all ever been to a church that didn't start on time? And you're waiting for somebody. So it was a wedding. I had told him that the wedding started on time. And it was 5 minutes after, I'm about to go home. And I'm talking to the congregation about it because I got to train these people, man. And this lady was a visitor. She said, oh, you can wait on the people. Ain't nobody with y'all there. I said, ma'am, sit. Pop, pop. Set down. You don't. I'm training these people. You don't. You're not even a member here. You go play with your own old crazy reverend. I'm gonna come here with that crazy stuff. I'm trying to bring these people out of Egypt to the promised land. I got them there too. I got them out. My member know now. You know. You better come without the wedding dress. You know. I ain't. Funeral too. You come in your loved one buried. That happened one time. But I was trying to get. I said, I don't care. You should have left the house earlier. We ain't gonna have the whole church waiting on you just because you're a member of your family. We preach the funeral and bury them. You won't see them go to the graveyard. Because people, you let one person disturb 900 people. Can't do that. Can't do that. They have not received, I'm almost through, they have not received the valuable and necessary information concerning the purpose. That's an important word, that purpose. For these new things or changes that are happening around them. Either because they have deprived themselves of this knowledge by their own carelessness, an ill-disciplined lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
Or they have been purposely deprived by those in authority and above them. And that's a lot of time that happens. Churches can't move because the people who claiming to be the government not moving.
Yes, sir.
And that's why you have to have, I cover all these boys here. That's why you got to, and girls. That's why you got to have the right spiritual covering.
Yes,
you got to have somebody moving, man. You got to,
right.
You ain't got nobody, you know, waiting for a check. Inadequate communication in time of changes. You see, you notice a lot of time I come out and explain what I'm going to do before it happens.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Because I'm trying not to hurt nobody.
Yes, sir.
But I will cut you after I've told you and prayed with you and prayed for you. You are cut. I got to go, man. I got to do what the Lord telling me to do. I cannot stop the whole bus because you don't have a ticket.
Yes, sir.
And the ticket was passed out. You say, I don't want no ticket.
Yeah.
Not a bus by take off. Now you want me to hold a whole bus up for you. I'm talking about the information is the ticket.
Yeah. Right.
See, we have to break this up. See, we got to let a flow.
Yes.
And you have to learn to flow with the flow, not against the flow. If you don't understand, just shut up and ride.
Yes, sir.
And finally, God's going to open your eye that you can see. Now, I said something, and I need to deal with it right now. I remember sometime in my ministry, I made a statement that because the word says the tradition of men make the word of God of none effect, and I somewhere along the line, I know I said tradition is stronger than the word. If you get that thought in your mind, but that's not true. Word is stronger than tradition. Got to be. The word is God. And I have proven it from Mount Zion to Word of Life Christian Center. Brother, we had tons of tradition, and some of it we didn't weigh because we had no scale to handle it. But the word of God is a hammer. And it tore down fences and walls that was holding God's people from being free.
Yes, sir.
So the word of God will get a change. The word of God will break it up. It'll break it up. But you got to know how to use the sword of the Spirit.
Yes,
my. Now this statement here need to go in the religious hall of fame. Unhealthy spiritual condition in the church. That need to go in because it got unhealthy spiritual condition in so many churches. I've been through some of them. I've been preached for some of them. When I was a Baptist preacher, I would preach four times on Sunday. I had a group travel with me to sing, about six or seven people. We went from South Louisiana to North Louisiana preaching until an elderly preacher got a hold of me one time, and he said to me, I preached for him. He said, how many times you preached today? I said, well, this is my third time. I got one more. He said, come to my office. I said, yes, sir. It was Dr. Brown. He said, young man. I said, yes, sir. He said, you're going to kill yourself, and these people are going to get them somebody else. He said, some of these invitations you've got to turn down. I made a note of that, and I backed off. Then this Methodist man, I remember he took me with him and his son to my first drive-in movie. He used to have a drive-in movie where you park in your car. He would take us. His son in my family, his son still living. He's gone home to be with the Lord, but he's a Methodist man. And so I was holding two offices. I was a preacher and a deacon. And God used this Methodist man. He says, son, he says, what you preaching or you're a deacon? The Lord used him. I said, well, I'm preaching, but I'm still holding the deacon. He said, you can't be both of them. I went to resign. The next, God used that Methodist man.
Yes,
God can use who he wants, you know.
Yeah.
You remember the Bible said God used a jackass.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be below a jackass, you.
Yeah. No,
I just cut you.
Yeah.
See? That Methodist man told me, he said, no, you can't be both of them. Go on, make your mind up. Well, I know I was called, you know.
Yeah.
Well, when I told my pastor, he understood. I said, Pastor, I'm getting off the deacon board now. I'm going to just go on and preach the word. He said, well, go ahead and preach it then. Unhealthy. Now, many people on Sunday morning go to unhealthy spiritual conditions in the church.
Yes.
Not that they're bad people. They just don't know and nobody can tell them nothing.
Yeah.
I see more preachers on TV just screaming and hollering and humming and mumming and drumming and all dressed with their shirt on the outside, white shirt on the outside, all kind of old crazy shirts, just screaming and hollering. And they're talking about black folks. Ain't there nothing black about that. They're stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're screaming and hollering. No content. Oh, they're quoting scriptures, but it don't have no life in it. It's just entertainment. Entertainment. And you see, a church with unhealthy condition make resistors. See, these resistors rise in many churches because of the spiritual condition of these churches. Now, you know why I don't have many resistors here? Because I'm a deal with them.
Yes, sir.
We'll find you another church. I'm here trying to help you. I'm not against you. We can't have you stand up and talk about, can I say, ask something? No, you can't say nothing now. We were preaching in Plan, what is Plan? Plan View, Texas. Yes, Spirit of God moving mightily.
Yes,
these three guys walk in there. One got up. I'm giving an invitation.
Yes,
people coming, getting saved.
Yes,
he prophesied.
Yes,
and his prophesy was, you know, let's preach the cross. We can't be preaching about it on a slick, though, he said.
Yes,
can't
right,
be preaching about this wealth and all this, you know, on a slick. And the Lord filled the altar up. While he was prophesying, the Lord filled the altar with people getting saved. I mean, from one end of the church to the other end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now I said to myself, what is this dummy going to do now?
Yeah.
And I was wise enough not to tell him anything.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit was wise enough not to tell him anything. Let him go on and act his foolishness out.
Right.
You don't. The spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. The Spirit won't interrupt himself. We got an invitation going on. Now you're going to prophesy. But you run up on people like that. But you can't let them come take over. Now, see, I never had much disturbing in my ministry. No, God's been here with me a long time. Yeah, you know, no. They come and they feel it. They know that there's something here. They know if I act up here, it's going to be 15 people on me before I finish talking. So my people come to church knowing that we're not going to let no foolishness go on.
Yes, sir.
Now, if the church is filled with people who have tremendous inner struggle, fear, limitation, change is a fearful event. If the people have tremendous inner struggles, if they have fear, if they have limitation, boy, when you start making a change, it's a fearful event. You get, what's going on now? Because they already got inner struggle. And you talking about changing something, they're already scared, they're already full of fear. And you say, we're going in this direction now. Changes exposes these hurts, fear, and inner frustration in people. Expose it. Now, class, I'm going to just go on and finish this. You go on and finish reading those chapters. I'm going to go on and finish these. This resistor B, and we're going to go further in our lesson. But let's sum up the whole matter. From what you were taught tonight, you should be able to locate people around you and know who they are, and then trying to find out a way how you could help them.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can't tell them. You can't tap on them and say, don't be ignorant, because they're going to get hot. but you can tell them and say, you know, I understand what the leader's doing now, you know, and show them a scripture or something, you know what I'm saying, in love. See, you have an advantage in this class, in this whole school. This apostolic blueprint that you're receiving will put you way ahead of the pack. To understand what God is doing in this season.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're in a transitional season.
Yes, sir.
Where the world's spiritual storms are being met with people who are anointed.
Yes, sir.
And know what to do. The days of just clapping your hand and patting your feet is over.
Yes, sir.
You need to have some understanding of how to flow and function in the realm of the Spirit. Let me bless you. Father, I just thank you right now. Each one of these students here in Darrow on campus, those by internet, those on Roku, tonight, Holy Spirit, take any emptiness away from them, any horror, any inner struggles, any fear, any oppression. And I ask you tonight to bless them with a surge of your power, a surge that is so strong that they'll never be the same. I invite you in this room. I invite you to travel by internet. I invite you to travel by Roku tonight, that an impartation and a transfer can be made that will set a lump of peace in their hearts forever. For you say your word, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thank you for each instructor, each classroom, each student. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to give us the as one man concept and anointing in this school, that we love one another, and that each man, each woman can grow into the things of God like never before. We praise you, Jesus. We love you and we honor you. Let strong men and women walk from this place and do exploit in the kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Yeah, you. You need to talk right now. You all right? All right. If I don't call you tomorrow, tomorrow means the next day. Then the next day, I'll call you. I don't want you to tie me down.